I've written what I had to say this morning a few times, just to, you know, fix up here and there. My first line is, we hear a lot about our journey. H-E-R-E. So I will correct that, because if I say it correctly, you'll get it better. We H-E-A-R a lot about our journey. Journeys are talked about and described in many facets of our life, from the very journey of life itself, our journey of faith, the journey of our family, you can fill in all kinds of blanks on that one. But today, I want to invite you to consider with me just a glimpse of that notion of journey from Jesus in our script, in our gospel reading. Not the whole gospel reading, we haven't got time for that. I'm sure all of you were standing there reading and saying, whew, what did he say about that bit? And what did he say about that bit? Well, you're going to have to wait till next year, or 3 years, I guess, for those. Anyway, the gospel for today starts a very long section in Luke about an actual journey. The journey is from Galilee to Jerusalem. It's Jesus and his followers. They move from the life he knew in Galilee through Samaria to the death he will experience in Jerusalem. That's what's going on. And we have, this morning, the first step. The first step. They were traveling down, and they were going to go through a Samaritan village. They didn't always do that, because safety-wise, it was much better to go up and around and just avoid them. The Samaritans could be a hostile bunch. Some would say they had some justification, since the others had destroyed their temple about 150 years earlier, in order that my temple at Jerusalem would really flourish. And so there they were, on their way to the temple in Jerusalem, where all things happen. Well, you can imagine, the Samaritans especially hated them coming through that path. But they did, because it's so much shorter. And Jesus had sent a couple of his followers ahead to introduce him, and they had done so, and they did not receive Jesus. And the disciples were really offended. They didn't receive him. So they got message back to Jesus, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Really. Sometimes we ask, where did Jesus find these guys? They're walking with Jesus along the road, side by side with the Prince of Peace. And they meet some opposition, and their solution says, we have a request, please, for violence and vengeance to deal with that. And the answer was, no, no, no. Well, the scripture was, Jesus returned and rebuked them. But I think he meant, no, no, no. Violence and vengeance are not the way of the disciple, are not to be, at least introduced by us, as part of this journey on which we find ourselves. And so on this first stop of the journey, they got their first deep truth to learn on the Christian journey. The first deep truth, not an easy one, but the one for which I guess he wanted them to deal. There is no more hatred, no more retaliation, no more fire from heaven. The disciples will love their enemies. Can you imagine the shift that was asking? There will be more hard lessons yet to come, even within the little passage we had today. But that's the one I want to share with you. How we make that transition. Or I'm not going to tell you how, but I'm going to challenge you in ways of thinking that I hope will get us there. How we make that transition. How it is we can move to loving enemies. I'm sure you've all heard that, well, you don't have to like, but you have to love, and those kinds of things that we know, and they are true. But this is deeper than that. I wonder just as part of what I share with you, to share some fairly personal struggles of my own at this time. When you talk about dealing with enemies, I don't mind sharing with you that I try to test any actions I decide or any group with whom I am involved decides to test them against this business, particularly of loving the enemies that are in it. I certainly try always to check that out. And over my years, I actually don't claim perfection, and judging this kind of thing is not what one does for oneself. It has to be what others say or see. But I think it's been not bad so far. I've had a feeling of being able to resolve most of those ones where that sense of that enemy is beyond unlovable. I cannot let go. But I have to say, in the last few years, in the persons of Putin and Trump, I have encountered individuals and situations to which I still cannot in myself say, okay. I cannot bring that the damage that I believe those two and others, but those two personify it just fine, have done. I share that with you just as a way of saying, and I did see some nodding as I spoke, but just as a way of saying, when we talk this stuff, it is not easy. When we want to follow Jesus, it is not easy. When we would go on the journey that Jesus takes us, it is not easy. It is from the life we know to the death we'll experience in Christ Jesus. And I trust the new life that will emerge. The church in every era has wrestled with these issues, as is appropriate, and usually, as is appropriate, in their own context. So in another reading for today, we hear guidance from the Galatians. It's gathered around the title, The Nature of Christian Freedom. And the main admonition around dealing with the freedom that we know is it must not be used for self-indulgence. That freedom is not there to make me free to do whatever I want to do. It is not that kind of self-indulgence. That freedom issues in a different pattern of living. In the reading for the people in Galatia, they are provided by a list of the works that are characterized is by the word flesh. I hesitate to use it because it is a specialized word, and of course we usually get it wrong and assume that flesh has something to do with literally this stuff. Flesh is about patterns in living. Flesh is about where the center of life comes. Flesh is about the customs and the carryings on of people. And so when they're talking about rooted in flesh, that's what they mean. And that kind of activity and that kind of center issues in licentiousness, impurity, quarrels, envy, and a whole lot of others, which you heard in the reading this morning. Well, they don't all fit, but I think in those four that I chose, most of us can find at least one in which our culture encourages us in that activity. I think so. But the answer to that influence, the answer to that shift, is not a bunch of lessons on how you can stop it. Much better it is. There's another list, and it characterizes what happens when the love of the disciple is rooted in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Then, the writer says to the people of Galatia, there is love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a different list. A description of the life of the disciple. The one who is freed from their own passions and desires as the ultimate value in their system to serve and to join and to spread just those ones. When I was more active in the life of a parish, I could promise you at least three or four times a day there'd be some troubles. Usually some young people got in some dreadful trouble, like scraping the floor or something. We had to re-wax everything, and people get in quite a state, and some other things. But sometimes the solution to such issues was teach them the Ten Commandments again. Have them memorize them, and it'll change. As an aside, one of the worst experiences of my life was heading up to confirmation when we had to memorize the Ten Commandments, and they had to be the long ones. Yeah, you were there. Well, so was my grandmother. Every night, over we'd go, she'd sit me down at the kitchen table, and we'd do it. And every night I'd say, enough, Grandma. And she'd say, if you love the Lord, and here we go. Anyway, I got sufficient memorized to be allowed to get confirmed. I can't remember if it was all of them or not. They were always there to read anyway, right in her prayer book. Anyway, as you may have guessed, I think there might be a better approach. The commandments aren't bad, but if we think taking 10 and making us all do it in accordance with our current interpretation, then something in the mix is bad. So I think there is a better set. And this is not a set of instructions for life. It is a description of life. And you just heard it. Love, joy, peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the picture of the disciple, the one who follows Jesus and follows Jesus on the journey. How I long for the day that description will be fulfilled in our midst. How I long for the day that description will be fulfilled within my own life. And I ask you, as I ask me, and I ask us together as a community, have we a role in helping that picture become more complete? Love, joy, peace, generosity, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.